Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
We're going to go tonight, first of all, to Romans chapter 5. And we're in a series, and we're going to bring it to an end tonight on the subject of grace. We're talking about understanding it. And tonight I want to talk about accessing grace, how we access it, how we get into this, you know, and just for a refresher, just so you understand, there's more than just saving grace. You know, grace is God's power, it's His ability, it's His enablement, it's His blessing. On and on we could talk about. One of the teachings we did was on the many sides of grace. Remember that one? Like, you know, just like there's a lot of different sides to this. And so, you know, when you think about it, you know, all of that. And so we talked about that. And so we're going to, you know, I want you to be thinking about that. When we talk about accessing, you may say, well, I'm saved. I've already accessed grace. But there's more to this. Now think about it. Just think about that. In other words, just because you got saved, that does not mean there's not more grace for you to access in your life. And you know, I mean, I think about, you know, I mean, obvious that there's more, because you know, Paul called being blessed financially by God, or God meeting your needs, he called that a grace in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and so. You know, there's grace. He talked about your gifting, you know, like there's grace and stuff for your gifting. So I want to talk to you about how to access that, because, listen, you know, we read the scripture. I don't know which teaching was right now, but we read the scripture where Paul told Timothy, be strong in grace. Well, if you can be strong in grace, that means you could be weak in grace. So he said, be strong in it. So that tells me you can be stronger. You know, I mean, I think we just know this. There's times you can be more anointed than at other times. Especially if you're in a ministry, you know that. There's times, man, that you can be more anointed than other times for different reasons. There could be a lot of variety of reasons. I think we can understand as we worship the Lord, there's some songs that are more anointed than other songs. It's just the way it is. There's sometimes when we minister, there's more anointing to minister. There's sometimes when we pray for the sick. Minister the sick, there's more anointing. It's just, you know, it's just a fact. It's just the truth. And so, you know, there's can be reasons and different reasons and stuff like that, you know. I preach sermons that, you know, I've been preaching some of this same stuff for, 30 years or more. And some stuff, one preaching did it in. It just didn't have much grace on it. You know what I'm saying? So you just learn over the years that there, you can tap into more grace. And so I want to talk to you. I'm talking about four things, four ways we can tap into more grace. Are you ready for that tonight? All right, we're going to start out with the first one. It's called faith. Everybody say faith. Faith. Let's read the Bible here in Romans chapter 5. If you have it with you, go to verse 1. Paul said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also, now notice this, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now notice he said we have access into this grace by what? By faith. Now, of course, there's all kinds of scriptures that we could talk about, but since we got four of those things and we don't have a whole lot of time here, we're going to blow right through some of this stuff. But it's not that it's not important. It's important that we understand that we have to have faith in God's grace to access the grace of God. Remember, the Bible says, even our salvation, by grace are you saved through faith. Amen. Amen. And, you know, so there's this thing about faith. Now, how many of faith is believing what you can't see? Faith is believing what you can't see. And without faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please God. And the Bible says if you draw back in your faith, he said, I have no pleasure in you. Didn't say he didn't love you. He just didn't have any pleasure in you. Because God is pleased when we use our faith. Amen. In Deuteronomy 32, 20, you can read the scripture sometimes, but God talked about the children of Israel. He said, there are people that have no faith. He said, I'll see what their end will be. See, if we don't have any faith, all God can do is sit back and watch and see what's going to happen to us. Because he can't help us. Paul told Timothy, talking about two men, he said they cast off faith and they made shipwreck of their life. So we have to have faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Come on, you want to spit some more scriptures out at you? I got more, but just think about this. Every time And I've thought about this before. I've thought about what would happen if I got up to preach some night and the Lord didn't help me. I've thought about it. Because you say, well, you just must have a natural ability. It's not a natural ability. Let me tell you, there's the two classes I hated worse was algebra. That was probably number one. I never could figure out how two times y could be b. Just not where I come from. We know the difference between alphabet and the numerics, okay? So I never did like that. I never did care for it. I'm not saying it's not useful for some people. I'm sure some people have the use. I'm sure there's a purpose for it somewhere. I just haven't found it in my life yet. All right, so it served me no purpose, okay? I don't know how to do it now. I learned how to do it because I had to learn how to do it to pass and get out of high school, you know, and then I had college algebra for a little bit. And so I learned a little bit how to do that, but it's gone now because I didn't use it and I don't care about it. So it's probably one of the worst classes I ever had in my life, and I hope I never have to take it again. I hope it's not in heaven. I hope there's not heaven algebra, you know. But, you know, then we had another class. I still don't understand why they made us take this class. It was called speech class. Did you have that when you went? Okay. Now, I never did get the purpose of that, but basically you had to get a speech and stand up in front of everybody and talk. And we had one guy in our class, a friend of mine, when people get up and give a speech, he'd hold up some kind of signs that said some stuff, you know. Some not sanctified for church consumption, but anyway, you know, and he would just annoy you and bug you, you know. But I hated it. I hated it. So I wasn't inclined to get up and speak in front of people, all right? Just not. And so, but I learned this. You got to have faith that God's going to be there. And you got to have faith that you're going to tap into His grace. You got to have faith He's going to help you. You have faith He's going to meet you, because I've done it both ways. I've gone before with fear and had problems. Somebody asked me the other day, somebody just preached one time. They asked me, said, you still get afraid when you preach? I mean, do you have fear? I said, well, not really. I said, especially at home, you know, because, I mean, you know. I said, no, you know, occasionally I'll have a little bit of something on some meetings sometimes occasionally, but not much. I said, you get over that. You get to where you trust God. You know, if He doesn't show up, then we're all going, you know, I learned a long time ago. See, here's what I used to do when I was young. If God wasn't flowing, I just kept pushing it and pushing it and pushing it and pushing it, trying to get something happen. And then one night I heard God say, let my people go. And I learned this way, if it's not flowing, I'm going home. Right? So you just have to have that much sense about you that if God's not moving in an area, you need to either just go home or jump to another area. Right? Instead of just driving into the ground until, you know, and I learned that. But I learned this. I learned this about preaching, that if you don't have any faith that God's going to be there and help you, then you're going to limit the grace you're going to be able to walk in that night. You got to come with expectation that, you know, sometimes, you know, I may not know exactly what I'm going to preach on and so forth. You know, first time I preached for Dr. Barclay, I had about 10 minutes notice. Really, that's all the time I had to get ready. I was in the shower when he called, getting ready to come to morning service. And that's the way he does people. That's just the way he does people. He doesn't tell you. He doesn't tell you a week ahead of time, hey, will you come preach for me? You know, he'll just wait till that morning and say, hey, you're up. And so, you know, I mean, you know, so but I remember I got nervous, you know, because I thought, wait a minute, now I'm preaching. This is the first time I preached for Dr. Barclay. This was some years back. First time I preached for him, and I went, you know, and I mean, this is not only just a church, which has got a decent sized church, but this is also, you know, on the internet and all that. This is live stream. There was like 30 to 50 some nations watching that morning. But really, I got to get over this. I got to have some faith here. I got to tap into some grace. I need some grace right now. And I tapped into it, thank God. Amen. I just remember going back in the back room and putting on the microphone and his son saying to me, and I think it was Ray Bench was preaching that morning, said, you both got 30 minutes. If you go over that, woe be unto you. You have to deal with Dad. You know what I'm talking about? So, you know, we watched the clock on the camera, the TV camera, you know, counting down, and put a countdown. And when mine hits zero, I'm done. Hallelujah, we're going. Amen. But see, the faith, you have to believe that God is going to help you. You have to believe that God's going to grace you. You have to believe He's going to step in. I mean, if you're doing something that He called you to do or you're in His will, if you don't have any faith for it, it's going to be hard for you to access and stand in the grace that He has for your life. So you have to believe for that. So I know that's real simple, but it is a Bible fact. That's the way we access grace, is by faith. And so we have to have some faith about it. Well, really, if you think about it, everything God has operates by faith. We're saved by faith. We're filled with the Holy Spirit by faith. We're healed by faith. We're to give by faith. We're to walk by faith. We're to live by faith. We're to stand by faith. Right? I mean, you know, people say, well, I think you talk about faith too much. Well, then quit reading the Bible. Because this, Paul said it's the word of faith which we preach. So if the word we're preaching doesn't bring faith, it didn't come from the Bible, it didn't come from Paul. He said we're preaching the word of faith, the word that brings faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I've heard some messages before that would never give you faith. You couldn't find any faith in it. It wasn't there. It couldn't be the word. See, that's one good way to judge it. If it's the word, is it really putting faith in me, Bible faith? Is it making me believe God more? Is it making me closer to God? Is it making me stronger? If it's not, it's really not faith. It's really not the Bible. Now, I've seen people, now I've been around old Pentecost, and so I know a little bit about this. I've seen them shout over lies. I've seen them take a lap around the church, and what the preacher said wasn't even the truth. But I just, see, they just got, and I'm not knocking them, I'm just making my point, is the fact you've got to listen to what's being said, not the way it's being said. And sometimes, well, if you just say it fast enough, you just say it loud enough, I'm going to shout. Well, listen. Listen, you better make sure you're shouting over the right thing. Amen. You know, and they say things, and that's not even true. And people are shouting. I learned a long time ago in the old Pentecost, they didn't care what you said, it's just how you said it. You could say, Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow. If you said it with enough vim, vigor, and vitality, it all shouts. Say, thank God, that's the truth. I know that's in the Bible. They ain't paying attention to what you were saying. Well, it's good preaching. You know, so we need to make sure what we're doing for God, what we're approaching it with faith. Yeah, God's going to meet me and He's going to anoint me. We don't do it in an arrogant way, but we do it in a faith way that He called us to do it. So He's going to help me do it. Hallelujah, amen. Now let's go because we got to move on. I can't spend a whole lot of time there, but let's go to the second one because we got four of these that I want to share with you. Let's go over to the Old Testament to the Book of Kings, and I'm going to read several verses here. 2 Kings chapter 5, and the next one is humility. Everybody say humility. Amen. Now, you know, one person said this one time, I never forgot this, they said, you know, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. I thought that was good. You know, because used to in the old times, they'd think, well, humility meant you beat yourself down, you know, you were a worm. But you know what, you could think you're a worm, and you could just think, I'm just worse than you are. Amen. So, you know, we've got to understand what true humility is. Really, let me just give it to you before we even read it. Humility is, the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. What does that mean? Humble yourself under what He said, not what you think. And people say, well, here's what I think about the Bible. Well, I don't care what you think about the Bible. I don't care what I think about the Bible. I didn't mean that rude. I just don't. I don't care. It doesn't matter what we think about it. It's what did it say. You know, our people say, well, you have to have a degree to read the Bible. Okay, God had men shed blood to get us this book and put it in our laps and say, now you'll have to go get a degree to understand it. You know what? Here's the real easy thing about it. Just read it. A guy said one time, I just don't understand the Bible. I said, well, just read it. Because the Holy Spirit will help you understand it. Right? And it just means what it says. Amen. Now, let's talk about, why this humility? Well, humility means we humble ourselves under God's, you know, mighty hand, under His word, under His will, under His plan. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, it says, Now Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria. Now, we're going to read a lot of scripture. Are you with me now? Yes. Now, Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. Now, notice this, because by him, the Lord had given great deliverance unto Syria. Now, notice that. I want you to notice, he's a great man, but the reason he's a great man is because by him, the Lord. Everybody say the Lord.
The Lord.
The Lord gave deliverance unto Syria. So this man's a great man, but the only reason he's a great man is because the Lord gave deliverance by him unto Syria. And you know, and Syria's not Israel. How many know that? So he's not even a covenant man, but God's helping him because, you know, at this time, if you study the history of it, the Syrians had been under attack and taken over by the Assyrians. And so God helped Naaman in war defeat the Assyrians and brought great victory to Syria. So he's not even saved, man. But how many know sometimes God will help people that aren't even saved? He's got grace. How many know that? I mean, I know I'm alive today because of the grace of God. I did enough things to kill myself. I thank God I didn't die of a drug overdose. I took enough to do it. It certainly wasn't for a lack of trying. I thank God I didn't get shot and killed. I've been shot at. Thank God it missed me and hit the car. What'd you do? Well, I didn't have a gun. I booked it out of there. What would you do? If I had a gun, I'd have shot back, but I didn't have a gun. When somebody shooting at me with a gun and you don't have a gun, you just boogie. That's all you do. So I thank God. Thank God I didn't die in a car wreck. I thank God I didn't die of something, you know, tragic. Well, I just believe it was God's grace. I remember one night, now, you know, I've got arrested, so I'm not saying God protected me from all of it, but I remember one night, you know, I don't know why I didn't go out with the guys that night on Friday night, but they all got arrested. And I thought, that's my mama praying. Thank God for grace. Hallelujah. Listen, he's a great man, listen, but not because of himself, because the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria through him. He didn't know this. You're going to read about it. He's a little arrogant. In verse 1, again, the end of it, but he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away a captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid or a little girl, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that's in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Talking about, I wish he was with Elisha the prophet. And he went in and told his, and she, and one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go to, and I'll send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment or clothing. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter's come to you, behold, I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass when the king of Israel read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive that this man doth send to me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, how he seeks a quarrel against me. So see, the king of Syria didn't get all his information right. He just sent a letter to the king and said, hey, I'm sending you to my man, get him recovered of leprosy. And the king of Israel was like, well, what are you talking about? Are you nuts? I'm not God. He didn't mention the prophet. And it was so, verse 8, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he sent to the king saying, wherefore have you rent your clothes? You don't do no good to tear your clothes up. Let him come to me. That was something they did back then. I'm glad we got away from it. Let him, I'd had a lot of torn clothes over the years. Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. Send it to me, I'll get him healed. So Naaman came. Now notice how he came. He said, send him to me. But notice how he came. He didn't come by himself. He came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. He came with a whole entourage. I mean, he's a great man. He thinks highly of himself. I mean, he's next to the king of Syria. He's not out there by himself. Let me follow that. So he shows up, you know, like I'm this big dude. And in verse 10, Elisha sent a messenger to him and said, hey, go dip in the river. Go jump in a lake. Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. And Naaman was wroth. That means he was angry. And went away and said, behold, I thought. There you go. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. I thought. See, a lot of people, I thought, pastor, would do this. I thought, well, that's what you get for thinking. I thought. Don't be thinking by yourself. I thought he will surely come out to me, stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Now, what is he saying? Look, he said, I thought he'd come out and make a big deal over me. Call on the name of his God, strike his hand over the place of leper, get me cured. And all he said was, he didn't even come out the door. Think about this. You got to put this in perspective. This is the guy that's captain of the army. I mean, he's chief of staff. He's next to the king. He comes to what he considers this preacher. He comes to this preacher, and the preacher doesn't even go out the door to meet him. He just sends somebody else to tell him to go jump in the river. It didn't go well with him. Why is that? P-R-I-D-E, pride. He expected he should have got better treatment than this. After all, I'm more important than the preacher. Well, the truth is, you're not. I asked Billy Graham one time, said, why don't you run for president? He said, because I don't want to step down from what I'm doing. I don't want to take a lower position. We laugh, but it's the truth. In the kingdom of God, that's a higher position than being president of the United States. Amen. Now notice verse 12. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? And so he turned and went away in a rage. I got a word for you. Why don't you just do what you're told? See, that's pride. I'm going to do it my way. How about doing it the way you were told? Amen. Well, let's go over big. Well, see, God can't promote us unless we humble ourselves. And just, you know, if we have to have it our way, listen, we're not humble. I mean, you got a problem. You got an issue with pride. And God, you can't step into the grace like you need to. Are you with me now? See, I learned that when I was under Brother Eddie and I was his assistant. We just did things his way. I don't care what I wanted to do. I didn't care what I thought about it. I'm not in charge. He is. So whatever he said, that's the way we did. I may have thought we should have done it another way. Most time I was wrong because I was young and dumb and stupid. See, the only bad thing about being young, dumb, and stupid is you know you're young, but you don't know you're dumb and stupid. You have to grow a little bit. Notice this. So he went away in a rage. Is he healed? I said, is he healed? Did the prophet tell him how to get healed? Did he obey it? Why didn't he obey it? Pride. He had a better way. My way's better. I know more than this preacher. But thank God for good people. His servant came near and spake to him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? See? Yeah, he'd rather have said do something big. So how much rather when he says to thee, wash and be clean? Then thank God for the servant. Then he humbled himself here, see? Then he went down, he dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like to the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Would he have gotten clean if he hadn't humbled himself? Would he have gotten his healing grace if he hadn't humbled himself? No, he didn't want to waste a leper, right? But yet it was available, but he wouldn't have accessed it. He wouldn't have tapped into it because of his pride. Because, you know, hey, I got a better way. I mean, you know, you're not going to talk to me that way. You're not going to treat me that way. I mean, who does he think I am? I mean, I could get my army and come over and kick Israel's rear end. That's probably what he's thinking. All right, now, verse 15, notice this. I want you to see a shift in this man. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and they came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing, notice of this, of thy servant. See, now he's not this mighty man of valor with the, you know, this great honorable man. He's a servant. But he said, notice what the prophet said, but he said, as the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I'll receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, given thy servant two mules, burden of the earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering or sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. Now you have to understand a little background of their thinking, understand this verse. But you know, they felt like if you went over to like Israel and you wanted to worship their God, you needed to bring some of their soil back and make you an altar out of that and worship God. So he's saying, look, I want some of the God of Israel. I want some of your soil. I'm going to take it back home with me, and that's where I'm going to worship your God from. So that's just the way they thought. But anyway, in verse 18, in this thing, the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, but when I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, go in peace. And so he departed from him and went a little way. Now I want you to notice a couple of things. I want you to notice that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times he called himself his servant. And now he stopped giving the orders and is taking them. And now he's asking for permission. He's asking for the prophet's blessing. See, would he have gotten that? Would he have gotten healed if he hadn't done that? No, he had to humble himself. Are you with me tonight? Am I being too intense for you? Some of you like me. All right. Now, since we don't have time to really talk about this, but you know, the Bible says before honor is humility. You know, before God can honor you, you have to humble yourself. Amen. See, if you think, you know, you say, well, I want, you know, there's people that sometimes, well, I don't want to do that. I mean, I'm above that. Well, you should never be above anything. How many know that? You know, and people, well, I'll just, you know, anytime you can use me in the pulpit, just let me know. Well, it'll be a while before you hear from me. I can use you in the toilets. How about that? Well, no, I mean, I got a call to preach. Well, so did I. But I did all kinds of things before all that transpired, too. I mean, I got to preach pretty early. Don't misunderstand. I was just 4 months old in the Lord when I started preaching. But even in the midst of all that preaching, I was still doing any job that needed to be done at the church, man. I know I just like to jerk the toilet up and have it out in the, you know, the churchyard trying to get it unstopped because people stick things down that they shouldn't stick down a toilet. It's just supposed to be toilet paper, and I'll let you figure out what the rest is supposed to go down in there. But, you know, nothing but something comes out of your body and toilet paper is all supposed to go in there. You know, people stick all kinds of things and everything else in there. You know, and so I remember the times doing all that kind of thing. I remember doing, you know, the children's church. I remember doing the youth. I remember doing all kinds of things. I remember doing the physical labor and the work and all that, everything else. Yeah, and listen, I'll still do some of that stuff. I've never done nursery, and Jackie wants me to do that, and I'm not going to do that. But anyway, you know, I mean, I'm not saying never, never. You never, God might, you know, but I doubt it, and I'm pretty certain, I'm clear of that now. Anyway, but anyway, but I thank God for people that do it, you know. And every other area. But see, you know, God can't use you in the, he can't use you in the pulpit if he can't use you in the toilet. He can't use the pulpit, he can't use you to mow the grass. I don't know what people are thinking, but they don't think right. They just think, because see, the local church is your proving ground. If you can't be faithful to the local church, you forget your own ministry. It's not going to happen. If you get one, you'll get it on your own. God won't promote you into it, and you're never going to go anywhere. You're never going to make it. So anyway, so that's just good thing we need to know. We have to have humility if we're going to get into the grace of God. All right, now we got to get going here. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, and I won't spend much time with this and the next one, and then we're going to just pray and let you go. But 2 Peter chapter 1, let's go there. So faith causes us to access God's grace. Humility causes us to access God's grace. Now the next thing is the knowledge of God. Let me show this to you in the Bible. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, Peter said, grace and peace be multiplied, not just added, but multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How many would like some of that? Grace and peace multiplied to you. But notice, that means you could have more or less. If it can be multiplied, you can have more. You get more grace or more peace. But he said it comes through. One way it comes is through the knowledge of God. In other words, you and I have to be on a constant pursuit of the knowledge of God to know about God, to know what He has to say. A constant pursuit of it. Amen. Constantly pursuing the knowledge of God. So Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So what was he saying? Well, he said you have to stay in. Yeah, if you stop learning, you stop the flow. Amen. Yeah. I'm still hungry for the knowledge of God, see. Yeah. Paul talked about the renewing of the mind, keeping your mind renewed with the knowledge of God. So the more we know about God, the more grace we're going to have in our life. Well, that's all up to us, isn't it? I mean, you know, you You got a Bible, right? Well, what's the Bible about? That could be a problem. Yeah, you could say a lot of things, I understand. The Bible's about the knowledge of God, right? I mean, it's about His covenants, right? How do you learn about God? By the Bible. See, you don't listen to me. We got false religions that and that's because they got their knowledge from someplace besides the Bible. Listen, there are religions that started because supposedly the leader of it had a visitation by an angel. All right, but listen. We don't get our revelation from angels. We get our revelation from the Word of God, from the Holy Spirit. All right. Does that mean I don't believe in angels? No, I do. That I believe angels could appear. We see them in the Bible speaking to people, right? But you have to judge everything they say with what God said. Anything you get, you got to judge it with what God said. You know, Brother Hagin told this story. This guy had a supernatural experience. He was a pastor. He was a minister. I don't know if he was a pastor, but he was a minister. And he was in the hospital, and he had something seriously wrong with him. And so Brother Hagin knew him, and he went to pray for him. And he said, when I went to pray for him, he said, Doc, there's no need to pray for me. He said, Jesus appeared to me. He showed up in my room last night and said it's not His will to heal me. So Brother Hagin said, well, how do you know it was Jesus? He said, well, He had a robe on and He had sandals. And I've said it humorously, I came out of the 60s and 70s. Hippies wore robes and sandals. Just because somebody showed up doesn't mean, right? They're of God, you know. The devil himself appears as an angel of light. So he said, whatever being it was, how many know we know it was not Jesus because what came out of His mouth contradicted what He said in His Word. In His Word, He said, by My stripes you were healed. That's what the Word said. So this can't be Jesus. And I like what Brother Hagin said to him. He said, wait a minute here. He said, we're praying for your brother to get saved, right? He said, yeah. He said, what if that being had showed up to your brother and said it's not God's will to save him? He said, well, we know that'd be wrong because the Bible said, oh, I got it, and got healed. Now, see, I don't know what this being was. Obviously, he wasn't from God, right? He wasn't an angel. He wasn't Jesus. It was the devil trying to trick this guy, right? That's the way false religions got started, see? I mean, I'm thinking a particular one that, you know, they have an addition to the Bible. That this leader got off an angel, you know. An angel appeared to him and gave him this extracurricular revelation outside of the Bible. All right. Paul said if an angel shows up and preaches any other gospel than we preach, let him be cursed. Okay. So that's pretty plain to me. If it doesn't line up with that book, I don't care who you say you are, I'm not listening to you. See, we have a Bible so we can have as much grace in our life as we want by feeding on it and learning more about God. How would you have healing grace in your life if you didn't read about it in the Bible? How would you have any other kind of grace if you didn't read about it in the Bible? How would you know about salvation if you didn't read about it in the Bible or you didn't hear somebody preach the Bible to you about it, you know, at least preaching the Word of God, but it all comes back to it's based on the Word, see? It's based on what God said. So we can, you know, we really hurt ourselves when we get too busy to spend time in the Word of God. We're hurting ourselves. We're cutting grace out of our life. Grace just makes life go easier. I'm telling you, grace just makes things easier. Hallelujah. So, all right, so the knowledge of God. See, we have to pursue it. We have to go after it. We have to be on a pursuit that I'm going to know God. Not just head knowledge. I'm talking about heart knowledge. You know, you could memorize the Bible, but isn't memorizing the Bible, it's about knowing it in your heart. When you got it in your heart, you act on it. See, people, what you're doing is what you really believe. You can say you believe a lot of things, but we really do what we believe. If we're not doing it, we don't really believe it. If people believe it, they'll do it because it's revelation to you. Amen. So you have to check up on yourself. You know, do I really believe that, or just I just got it in my head? You know, you could have it up here, but how many of it's got to get down? It's got to get down into here before it really starts to operate. Because faith comes out of the heart, right? With the heart, man believes. So if you just got it up here, you know, and there's a lot of people that got it up here, but you got to get it from here to here. Where you live it, you act on it, you operate in it. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let's go to the last one. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And the last one, and I've preached on these things before, so, you know, just, and I'll preach on them again probably in a couple years or less, you know, because we need to keep hearing it. You know what I'm saying? And that's one thing, preachers, I don't shy away from preaching something I've preached before. People, you know, people sometimes preach, well, I got to come up with something new. Well, you try pastoring, you know, for 20-some years and see how many new things you come up every week with. Unless you're just, you know, smoking marijuana and hallucinating, you're not coming up with new stuff all the time. You know what I'm saying? I came up with a lot of things when I hallucinated for when we did LSD when we were young. Yeah, you thought up of a lot of things. Most of it, all of it wasn't God. Most of it wasn't God. None of it was God. So, you know, and you'd be surprised. You say, well, Pastor, you say these things, but it's, and we laugh and joke, but you'd be surprised how many goofy people there are in a church. Yeah. Dr. Barclay went to preach for a pastor one night. It's just hard to believe that people are this ignorant, but that's what happens when you leave the Bible and start thinking for yourself. He said, I walked into this pastor's office and it smelled like marijuana. And Dr. Barclay says, is that marijuana I smell? And the pastor said, yeah. He said, it helps me revelate. He said, you're not revelating, you're hallucinating. He said, now if I know you're smoking marijuana and I can smell, we're going to talk about it in the church. He said, your people know it. He said, I'm not walking up there with you and endorsing this. He said, this is the way this works. Either I go home and you go tell people what happened, or you go home and I'll get up and preach and tell them what's going on, or we go up there together and we tell them what's going on. Quiet in here, isn't it? Thank God for a real man of God. See, if he'd have got up there with this pastor and these people know he smokes pot before their service, they thought, well, Doc's good with it too. But he said, here's what we're going to do. He said, we can do this. We can go up there and I can get you, pray for you and get you delivered, and you'll repent for your people because they know you're doing it. If I know you're doing it, if I'm smelling it, they're smelling it. And you can get this right. Well, the pastor said, okay, let's do that. So he said the pastor went up there, repented before the people, told him he was smoking marijuana for the service. Doc laid hands on him, got him delivered. He kept pastoring, and his church is going today. Still good. But you got to, you know, you need the Holy Ghost, not Colombian. I've had plenty of Colombian in my life. It doesn't do for you what the Spirit of God does, okay? You got that? Understand that? I'm talking blunt tonight, but it's just the truth. You know my lifestyle. It's just the truth. That's the way I live. That's all I live for. But once I met the Spirit of God, all that stuff, I didn't need that stuff any longer. Right. Well, I got inspiration. I don't need pot or drugs for inspiration, or any Pabst or Canadian Club or Bacardi's. I don't need any of that any longer. I got the Holy Ghost. He's the best thing. I don't need anything getting in the way of that. Hallelujah. Are you with me now? Now, all right, the last one is this, boldness. If I say boldness. Hallelujah. I probably need to preach for another half hour. It's getting ready to rain, and you don't want to go out in the rain, all right? So, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of God, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, notice it tells us how to come. Boldly. You know, the scripture where Paul said God's not given up the spirit of fear. That word fear there is also the word timidity. The spirit of timidity. Listen, I've learned this. I still have to work on it. Don't misunderstand me. But I've learned this. That timidity and insecurity will rob you of grace and the anointing on your life. You got to be bold about things. Jesus was bold. You know, when the disciples, you know, when they arrested them, they marveled and took knowledge. They'd been with Jesus because they were so bold. You know, Jesus was bold. Amen. So don't just dismiss this one, because Listen, God had to deal with this. Think about some of the great leaders of the Old Testament. Who was probably one of the greatest leaders of the Old Testament? Come on. Moses. They made a movie about him, man. What do you, Charlton Heston played him. Are you kidding me? When Charlton, some of you are just, okay, who's Charlton Heston? He was a good-looking hunk in his day. All right? Charlton Heston played Moses. You got to be popular and good if Charlton Heston plays you. How many saw the Ten Commandments? Good movie, right? You know, they got one part wrong. Carrying that old man out. Remember when they were leaving? They had that old feeble. The Bible said there wasn't a one feeble among their tribes. They were all walking out. They were all strong. Because they protected the Passover lamb. Hallelujah. And they all left strong, see. They all got healed. So, but, see, Moses, now think about this. Moses, when God came to him, he was timid. He lacked boldness. He said, Lord, he said, go get somebody else. And God got angry with him. Said, no, you're it. So what about Joshua? Joshua must have had an issue because when you read God's charge to him, there are several times he said, only be strong and very courageous. He told him several times, be strong and of good courage. Be bold about this. Don't be timid. Go in there like you own the place. Not rude, not arrogant, but bold. Amen. What about Jeremiah? God had to deal with him. He said, God came to him and said and wanted to use him. He said, I'm just a youth. And God said, don't say that. Don't say that. See, God doesn't want us saying what we think about ourselves. He wants us saying what he said about us. That's what he told Jeremiah. Don't say you're a youth, for you'll go wherever I send you. I'll put my word in your mouth. All right. So listen. Maybe you think this isn't all that big a deal, but I'll tell you what, after 37 years, I've learned if I'm timid or I'm insecure in something I'm doing, I'm going to lack anointing. I'm going to lack grace. Now, that doesn't mean I'm arrogant about it, but it just means I got to be bold about it, that God put me here, I'm supposed to do this, and he's going to back me. See, the Bible calls Jesus, it calls him the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And finally, Paul said this. He told the church at Ephesus, he said, pray for me that I may speak the word boldly as I ought to speak. Pray for me that I'll be bold. Be bold about it. Why? Well, I think the church has been too weak and timid in some areas. You know what I think? I think the modern church cares far too much what the world thinks about them. We have whole churches have changed their church based on what they think people want. Now, what kind of leadership is that, that we're being led by people instead of by the Lord himself? It's a death nail. I'm telling you, it'll kill your church. Oh, yeah, it might grow it for a while, maybe years. You may be popping and growing, but you're going to have problems. It's like, I'll tell this story. I can tell it publicly because Dr. Barclay told it publicly, and I've told it publicly here before, but one of these guys that's really big on the church growth thing, and I think he was a good man. I think for the most part he meant well. But, you know, you don't poll people and find out what they want. You find out what God wants. That's a true leader. A true leader isn't led by people. I'm talking about a spiritual leader. You're not led by people. You're not led by the opinions of people. You're led by what's right, first of all. And it makes no difference if like 95% of them don't want it. If God said it in his word, if you're going to be a true leader, you stick with that. You find out his plan, his will. Not what people want, but that's the way a lot of our modern churches are geared today. I'm not being critical. I'm just making a point, is the fact that that's not going to, in the end, that's going to fail you. And so this man, he was kind of the father of this modern day church growth thing, you know, finding out what people want and giving them everything they want. You know, if they want a half an hour service, give them a half an hour service. They don't want to tithe. You don't talk about tithing. You know, if they don't want to live right, you don't talk about living right. You do things to get rear ends in the seat. And so he grew his church to 15,000 people. That's a big church. I mean, we had that many stay away last Sunday. So, you know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's a big church. And then, but one day he calls Dr. Barclay and he says, can you help me? He says, what? What do you need? He said, I got big problems in my church. He said, there's prostitution going out on my church. There's drugs being sold in the bathroom. He said, when we clean up the parking lot after Sunday morning, he said, we're picking up beer bottles, liquor bottles, drug paraphernalia, condoms, and everything else. Well, you got people there because you gave them what they wanted. And he said, can you come and help me? Well, you know, Dr. Barclay can probably help you on that. How many know that? He could probably speak to that. But I like what he said. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. He said, that's your own vomit. You clean it up yourself. He said, if I came there and said what I had to say, you'd lose half your church or more, and then you'd blame it on me. He said, so I'm not going to do that. He said, you clean it up. I thank God for the guy's honesty. I saw where he said, I gathered a lot of people. He said, but I got the wrong people. He didn't want people that wanted to be committed to God. I don't want a church full of rebels, do you? I don't want to sit next to rebels, do you? I want to sit next to somebody who's hungry for God. Now, you know, people may come in, it may take them a while to get a hold of things. We understand that. They're babes or they don't know anything. That's different. But I'm talking about people who just want to come there and sit and just be rebellious against the Word of God. I'm not your shepherd to start with. I don't even want to shepherd you. I don't care that you don't come. If you don't want to change, I don't care. Don't come. Well, it's a pastor, you're helping them not come. I don't care. I'm serious about that. I don't want to pastor rebels that don't want to live for God. What am I supposed to do with you? Turn you over to Satan for the destruction of your flesh. Oh, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know how we got off on this, but anyway. But the church needs boldness. Amen. Are you with me? Not rudeness, not arrogance, but boldness to proclaim the Word of God. Stick with it. Amen. And we need boldness. If we're going to tap into grace, we've got to be bold about it. We can't just timidly, have you ever been in service, people come up and say, pray for me. I can't sing. Well, sit down and shut up then. I mean, I've seen people get up, we're going to do something, and they just do it so timidly, like, I just don't know if I can. Well, then sit down, because you're probably going to hurt all of us. Is this too straight? Doth this offend you? You know, and I've heard them get up and sing. I thought, dear Lord, we need to pray for ourselves, not you. It's hurting us. Now, everybody can sing the Lord, have you know that? But not everybody should be mic'd when they do it. You know, some people don't need to be amplified. I mean, one of the worst things I've ever heard in my life blesses me more than probably anybody I've ever heard sing. And this person, which I'll leave unnamed, they're awful. They don't know. I mean, F flat, just give them an F, they'll flatten it. They don't know anything about, being in tune. But I've stood with them in worship service, and they're just praising the Lord, and I'm listening to them, and I'm thinking, that's about as off as you can get it. We definitely wrecked a train here. But you know what? I feel it coming out of their heart. And I'm thinking, you know what? I don't know what God does with all this, but time it gets to heaven, the Bible says it's a sweet smelling savor. Yeah. It sounds good to God. And really, it sounds good to me because I know it's coming out of their heart. I'd rather have somebody get up and sing that it's coming out of their heart than somebody that's really talented. We used to have a guy, he's in heaven now. I'm closing with this story and I'm going to let you go. But we used to have a guy, when he would come to our, we had at the Revival Center, we'd have, I remember what our midweek service was now. But anyway, it was in the midweek. It was either Wednesday or Thursday, but this guy went to another church and we were friendly with this church and all and kind of close to this church that he went to. And when he would come to our church, sometimes, because I'd usually preach Wednesday, I think it was Wednesday night we had, and they had Thursday night. I'd usually preach Wednesday night service. I was an associate pastor. I usually preach Wednesday night service, and I sometimes would have him sing. And, he wasn't really that great a singer, but it came so much from his heart that I'm telling you, the anointing would flow. And he used to sing this song, "Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold My Body Down." I can tell you don't know it, but it was an anointed song. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm getting up out of the ground. Come on, ain't no grave. You know who I'm talking about, dude, don't you? I thought you did. But, he wasn't terrible, but he wasn't the most gifted. But, boy, he sure had a heart for God. So it isn't a matter of talent, man. It's a matter of your heart. Amen. Did you get something tonight? Let's all stand up. Thank God for His Word.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.